You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning, and welcome to worship today. Today we have red because we're celebrating Saints Peter and Saint Paul, apostles. From what we know, they were martyred on the same day in Rome, so they recognized this day. So we have the red for this festival. Let me announce the hymns for those who are listening on the radio. We are following Divine Service Setting 4, which begins on page 203 in the hymnal. The opening hymn is 644, The Church is One Foundation. Hymn of the Day 783, Take My Life and Let It Be. Distribution Hymn 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. 709, The King of Love My Shepherd Is. 683, Jesus, The Boundless Love to Me. Our closing hymn 830, Spread the Reign of God the Lord. And we do have a potluck today. And the plan, although I'm flexible, within reason. The plan was we'll have potluck after the Bible study. This is our concluding Bible study for, it's a kind of a membership Bible study, catechesis. So there's a lot to cover, but I'm okay if everybody else is, if they want to eat while I'm teaching. You just have to, I don't know how the food's prepared and all that, so I don't want to mess things up, but I just want to know, I'm okay with that if that's what you would determine to do. Maybe you'll have appetizers while other stuff, you figure it out. But everybody come down, even if you didn't bring anything, come on down for the Bible study, for no other reason, right? All right. Well, let's begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we're gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the intro it. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Merciful and eternal God, your holy apostles, Peter and Paul, received grace and strength to lay down their lives for the sake of your Son. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, that we may confess your truth and at all times be ready to lay down our lives for him who laid down his life for us, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul is from Acts chapter 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the gradual. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus? Maybe I should say more to the point, as Christ is part of the answer. It's a key question that one must answer in life and answer correctly. There are many opinions, of course, but who we understand Jesus to be determines how we live now. Jesus' enemies at the time of his earthly ministry had their opinions. Some thought he was crazy. Some accused him of being a glutton, a drunk, somebody who was controlled by Satan. They treated him accordingly. They lived accordingly. Others had ideas that they sounded good and reasonable. They spoke about Jesus in ways that, well, they sounded kind of pious and nice. You know, he's John the Baptist or one of the famous prophets who's come back from the dead. And I suppose those sounded like safe opinions. I mean, who would be upset for somebody saying something like that about Jesus? But they were wrong. They were all wrong. People still say things about Jesus that sound safe and nice, but they're still wrong. Jesus is, of course, much more than a prophet. He's more than a good man. He's more than a wise teacher. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the truth. Those who disagree are wrong. But knowing how to say the right thing, you know, having this in our heads is, it doesn't necessarily mean that you understand what you're saying or how it matters for life. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the promised Messiah, using the Old Testament title, meaning the anointed one. That's what the Christ means. And so we learn from the Old Testament who he is. He's the one who delivers. He's the one who rules God's people. The one true living God. There is no other. That alone shapes how we live. He's the source of life. He's the fulfillment of all of Israel's hope. Even today, he is the fulfillment. And he's not just one among many. There is only one. You could say he's the, as we look at Scripture, the climactic figure in whom God's purpose is finally accomplished. And so we want to understand God's purpose from Scripture. He's the one who's been put into this special office to accomplish the will of God. So Jesus had special work to perform. In verse 21 of the gospel, after this conversation, Jesus will begin to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. This is the salvation work that had to be accomplished for God's people. This is what he, of course, did do. And this is good news for those who believe this about Jesus, who he is. So we understand who he is from Scripture, which is why we always have Scripture in front of us in our daily devotions, in our time here. The liturgy rich with Scripture, the hymns, these are all helping us to know rightly who Jesus is. This doesn't come from public opinion, and so we guard ourselves by understanding rightly who Jesus is when we hear other views or opinions. We need to separate them so our understanding isn't distorted or changed. And it doesn't come within ourselves. We don't find Jesus outside of Scripture, outside of what's revealed to us in Scripture. It doesn't come from nature. It's not from any kind of human wisdom or understanding. We only learn who Jesus is from God himself. Simon Peter's words have revealed what God the Father himself placed into Peter's heart. And so Jesus proclaims Peter, one who has received the blessing of God, that he's been reconciled and restored to the Father. God's salvation is Jesus himself. A person who receives this salvation by being brought to the true knowledge of Jesus, even if that knowledge is not fully formed, it does seem to be a process, doesn't it? This knowledge keeps deepening as the Lord reveals it to us in life's experiences, as we hold fast to our confessions, what we know to be true, and test it against life, experience, opinions, enough so that we are convinced to not let go of this true confession of who Jesus is. Simon Peter is not praised for his great insight. He's declared blessed because God the Father has revealed the Son to him. Other scripture tells us that revealing Jesus' identity and role is what the Holy Spirit does, a specialty, you could say. And the Holy Spirit does this through the Word and through holy baptism and through holy communion. God gives us not only salvation, but also the means by which to tap into this salvation. Saints Peter and Paul and the other apostles, they understood this. They knew their own inability to know Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. They knew their own weaknesses and limitations. They understood their dependence on Christ and his means of grace. They understood their dependence on the church. They understood that they had been called by Christ to proclaim rightly who Jesus is and all that he taught, and that's what they strive to do. They understood that apart from Jesus, they could do nothing. Their lives gave testimony to this conviction of who Jesus is. They were humble servants, but they were also bold, determined in the work to make disciples by baptizing and teaching all that Jesus had commanded. They were open to correction, intentional to debate, critical teachings, but they would not give in to any false teaching. The Jerusalem Council, it's called. We heard about this in our first two readings, this intentional discussion and debates about the law of God and view of what Christ had done, his atoning sacrifice in the cross. How would that affect those who had been so obedient to the laws that they had been received, handed down by God himself? Well, still a question today about God's law. How is it relevant for Christians? Is it relevant? You know, how does it apply? Well, we know that Christ is the fulfillment of the law, but not the end of the law. Adherence to God's law, it's not required for salvation. That we understand. That's our justification, right? Christ fulfilled the law, but he didn't eliminate it. The law is the eternal will of God. It is good. And God uses the law in three ways. And we've learned the shorthand, you know, as Lutherans, we like to refer to these as the curb, the mirror, and the guide. These are helpful for us as we read Scripture and as we understand God's law, how this applies to us in any given circumstance or situation. First, God uses the law for the good of all his creation. So with it, he limits and prevents sin and evil from going too far. You know, the curb keeps it in check. And this helps to keep order in the world among all people. Second, God uses the law to reveal and condemn our sins. Sometimes refer to this as the chief use of the law. The law always condemns. It always condemns. As we hear and consider God's perfect law, it reflects our sins. We fall short. We stand condemned without excuse. But this brings us to our awareness and need for a Savior. Knowing that Jesus is the Savior, we turn to Him. We trust in the mercy of God revealed to us in Christ. So we live in His grace. And God uses that law for us as forgiven sinners, His Christians, to direct our thoughts and our words and our deeds as Christians, ways that are pleasing to God. We're freed from condemnation by Christ, so we live for God. We live for our neighbor in the freedom of the gospel. It's not by compulsion, but by love for God, love for a neighbor, a love that God Himself puts in us. And rightly knowing and confessing who Jesus is, well, it's more than an intellectual declaration. As I said before, it really determines how we live today. And this only comes from God. It's God's revelation given to the church. He revealed Himself in Christ. So all of our human reason, all of our opinions, those are subject to God's revelation in Christ. And the church is built on this right confession of who Jesus Christ is. And it continues to be built on this confession today. Again, why we treasure it, why we hold it dear, why we do not want to steer away or be drawn away from a true confession. We build the church. God builds the church through us with what we find about Jesus through the office of the keys. Talked about this in the gospel reading. The forgiveness of sins. Christ stood in for us for our punishment for sin that we deserve, suffering what we deserve. And now we stand in for Him, pronouncing the forgiveness of sin. That's what the office of the keys, the office of ministry does. Delivers the forgiveness of sins that Christ won for you on the cross. Simon Peter, he speaks on behalf of the other apostles. And Jesus called and equipped and put to use those holy apostles. Their main job was to speak the truth about Jesus, to tell the world who Jesus is, what He had done, what He is doing. And Jesus promised to build His church through the mission of the apostles and through them the entire church after His resurrection. And Jesus promised the apostles that they will begin to proclaim Him, His identity, His significance, and His teachings. And in this proclamation, the apostles would exercise the office of the keys. This would begin after Christ's resurrection when the Lord would send them out to make disciples by baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching what Christ taught them throughout the 3 years with Him. And this is when Christ began to build His church upon the rock of the apostolic confession. By baptism and teaching Christ, the apostles began to open the kingdom of heaven to all nations. And we, the church, we continue this work today. The church has not been built on the authority of man. The church stands against false teachings about Jesus, which lead people to hell. The church stands against those who say there's salvation outside of Christ. Teachings that deny the need to repent of sin. Teachings that demand humans do something or follow a certain command to enter into God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is closed to those who believe such teachings. But the church prevails and will continue to prevail against those teachings. You are part of the victorious church where the kingdom of heaven reigns, rejoicing in Christ and looking forward to His glorious return. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, give us grace that we would daily read and treasure your word and put it into practice. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, look kindly on our congregation. Keep us from indifference to your word and mission, and strengthen us to be people who ever hold your word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, we bless you for the ministry of your apostles, Peter and Paul. Through their faithful witness unto death, they proclaimed your gospel without wavering, leading many to Christ. Help us to love you above all others, that even under threat of death, we may confess your saving name and endure to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, look favorably on our nation. Remember our president and all in authority. Grant them wisdom to meet the challenges before them faithfully and skillfully. Bless those who serve in our armed forces, that they would do so with honor and courage under your protection. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, have compassion on those in need of healing, especially Bob, Shirley, Dave, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Duane, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Lewis, Mary, Harold, Joan, Chuck, Linda, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and the family of Wyatt. Grant such healing according to your will and give them patience to bear their afflictions with grace and trust in your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, at your altar you give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Grant that participating in the Holy Eucharist, we would partake of the very joy and peace of heaven and yearn to taste it evermore. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated as the offering is collected. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. You have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You once proclaimed your saving promise through the prophets of Israel, and by the apostles and evangelists, you published the good news of your saving promise fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant that we, being instructed in the doctrine of the blessed apostles and evangelists, may faithfully eat his body and drink his blood and declare his salvation to all the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.